This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing High Hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, High Hopes, High Hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Yo! Another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time. Philadelphia, celebrate responsibly. Fritzy.
What up, bro?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
What up, bro?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I'm good. That's this is good. Yeah. This is fun. This is
everything's great.
Everything's great. There's a lot to talk about. I'm excited. In our world, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. We would not be able to do this in the on the radio for sure.
No.
But on this podcast, we are here to get into the nitty-gritty of what is going on with the Phillies. And sure seems like they're not gonna get the guy that we all want.
So let's start with that, because I was gonna start with the biggest news of the week, obviously.
What we care about.
Most important thing happening, our guy Preston Mattingly, the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, no big deal. Like, friend of the pod, you know, no big deal. Like, it's just, it's what we did.
But we'll get to that small thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We got to deal with the Soto issue.
So, all right. So I guess it started with John Middleton a few days ago saying, hey, yeah, we're not getting him. Just in case everyone's wondering, they're using us. We're a stalking horse. And it's like, all right, you know, I don't take what is said in public by these people right now, whether it's for the owners. That, you know, I take it with a large grain of salt.
Sure. Is a stalking horse the horse next to the main horse? What is a stalking horse?
A stalking horse is the idea of, like, you're, it's like a fake horse that you're looking, it's like the Troy thing. Like, the same idea, right?
No, the stalking horse is the horse that leads the horse, like, to the gate.
That's what I was thinking.
Ah, so no, I was thinking of like a horse that is not the real horse. It's like a fake horse.
Are you thinking of the Trojan horse?
Well, that's a Trojan horse.
Yeah. Because, you know.
I knew what it meant in context.
No, the stalking horse is the one that's like next to the horse.
But I don't really care about what it really is. What he's saying is that they're being used and that they're not.
I'm just asking what it really is.
I guess it's the horse next to the
next
real
to the
horse.
Yeah, like when they're lining them up like before the race.
Look at that. See, there you go.
Horse racing guy.
I had no idea. Not a big horse racing guy.
No. But yes, so.
There you
but,
go.
But again, I'm trying to figure
you
out.
I bet you we educate a lot of people. I bet you a lot of people listening had no idea what the stalking horse. I didn't.
But I'm trying to figure out what that means in the context of
I don't know why it's that doesn't make a ton of sense for like stalking horse is basically he's saying like, hey, we're not really in this. They're using us to raise the price. They're saying we're going to be involved. We're like a fake suitor is what he basically is saying. They're using us essentially. But I don't get it. I don't understand stalking horse in terms of
I'm sorry to be caught up on the stalking horse thing.
Not surprised. Not at all.
But there's got to be a different expression.
Well, you can look it
up. This is like the powder, like saving the powder.
Yeah, they do use old timey.
Yeah, dude. I mean, come on.
It's always like
the stalking horse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's. Listen, who am I to question how someone does business practices?
Okay.
But it feels
a false pretext concealing someone's real intentions, which is kind of what I've been saying. But I don't understand.
The stalking horse's job is to just.
It's a screen that traditionally made in the shape of a horse behind which a hunter can stay concealed. That's another thing, apparently.
Okay. Clevin.
A horse or a figure like a horse behind which a hunter stalks game. So it seems
that makes more sense.
Makes way more sense.
Yes, and the horse that's next
to
the
main. So I think Tucker
horse.
Was wrong.
Well, no, but a stalking horse is what he said.
I don't know if it is or not. It looks like it's the hunting thing. Something used to mask a purpose.
Either way, now it makes sense that if it's the mask, the main purpose.
Tucker's definitely wrong.
Well, Tucker seems heartbroken over this.
The term stalking horse originally derived from the practice of hunting. So it's a hunting term.
All right. Listen.
It's the thing that they, like the blind type thing that they stand behind.
You a big hunter?
Oh, yeah. You know,
man. You know, in the woods? Yeah. You the big
Take
blind guy?
Outside of like with my car, you know, not purposefully.
You hunt deer with your car?
Somewhere. I'm saying not purposely
alert the authorities?
My car. Ask me how many animals I've killed in my life. The answer is zero.
Zero.
That's where I'm trying to go with this.
Yeah.
Saying other than like I hit a deer when I was younger.
No, what you said was what you said was.
Oh my God, hunting, man. It is actually funny. I did call my first car the deer killer because I hit two deer like within a, it was a 1974 Mercury Cougar.
Your first car was a 1970 car. I don't know how cars ran before 1995.
Dude, this car, it lasted for 8 months and it died. But
shocking.
Yeah, probably because you were hitting deer.
But I went out purposefully. I lived in the, you know, out in Doylestown area, and I'm driving these roads at night. So the and both deer got obliterated by the car. The car was
You're not exactly a, you got a bit of a lead foot.
I was 16 years old. Like,
that doesn't mean you don't have a lead foot.
I don't anymore.
I just want it to be known. You said you target and kill many deer with your car.
I go out hunting.
And by the way,
that's when I hear hunting, I think of the car. By the way, let's go.
By the way,
I do it in my Mini now.
If you, you have a Mini Cooper, the deer would kill you. Like, it would hurt you.
I do not call my car now the deer killer. That's an old term that is not used anymore. So Juan Soto.
People still listen?
I wouldn't be.
No, but what sucks about the, I mean, it's not surprising.
Oh, like, so by the way, the other part of this, Jeff Passan tweeting out just a little bit ago today that the list of teams that I guess are in on are going to get a meeting. The Toronto Blue Jays have the first meeting this week. Boston Red Sox are next. Then the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So I don't know. I don't think that means the Phillies won't get a meeting if they want one, especially because Boris said he's taking all the meetings. But like, you'd like to be on that list, right? You know, to start.
It just feels like they're being a little passive with it. And they're just saying they're not being Jeff Passan. They're being passive from the standpoint of, if we're in it, like if it breaks our way.
So here's the question. Is this real? Like, are they a sleeping giant? Are they just being like, bang? Like, that's the whole plan? Or is this is real? Is this like job? Are they putting it out there like, hey, listen, like, are they letting the fan base know? Is this their way of kind of soft launching, so to speak, that they're not going to sign Juan Soto and they're putting that out there? What do you read this as?
I think it's 100% soft landing. I do.
Soft launch.
Soft landing.
Soft launch.
From the hard truth. Come on.
That was good work.
Pull that together. So yeah, that's what I kind of read this all as. They're not getting a meeting with them. Middleton talks on Friday about how they lost like $200 million during COVID, and like they don't want to.
Yeah,
it's
that,
like a big
John,
thing.
You're really mixing messages with that one. You can't give the stuff last week and then come out and be like, but you know, honey.
But like, I think that they're not feeling very optimistic that he wants to leave New York. Certainly seems that way, and I think they're trying to just give the fan base, this is probably not going to happen. So again, now Heyman did say there was some mystery teams that are out there lurking.
Do you think Boris just like texts him what to tweet, like says, hey John, put this out verbatim, or do you think John actually thinks about it himself a little bit?
I think it's mostly verbatim.
I think it's verbatim
for sure.
Too. Yeah,
but
I just want to check.
But I think again, like if it breaks their way, they would
sign
motivated.
It. I get it.
But I don't think they're very motivated at the moment
because they don't think it's going to happen.
I don't want to get people's hopes up, because here's the problem. If you get everyone's hopes up and you don't get them.
Yeah, I agree.
Then the reaction's much harsher than we probably are not going to get this guy anyway. The thing that sucks is
all of it.
Seeing that the Blue Jays are getting the first big meeting.
Yeah, what the hell?
Now, the Blue Jays, they tried for Ohtani last year. They were in it.
Well, if everyone remembers, they were the team that everyone's like, he's flying to Toronto to sign. Yeah. Remember that whole fiasco?
Yeah. So they are motivated to try. I forget that whole story, but it was like, I think Morosi got caught in it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But,
well, and then there was the Aaron that we all remember with
Arson Judge.
John Heyman, exactly. Arson Judge Aaron, to where he was going to the Giants. So, like, you know, these guys are not
100%. Thank God Bryce signed and he wasn't signed to go elsewhere. But yeah, I just seen the Blue Jays getting the first meeting. They seem to be more aggressive about going and getting Juan Soto. And that team's in a different place than the Phillies are. The Phillies are a team that they still believe has the core of a team that can win a World Series. But I think that they don't want to get the fan base's hopes up, so that when they probably don't get Juan Soto, there's a big backlash of people believing that they were going to get Juan Soto, which thanks, because Juan Soto's awesome.
Yeah. So I never expected them to get Juan Soto. I put the percentage like 10%, and that was probably even a little high, hopeful, but I never really believed it. And as I've said, like, I wouldn't blame John Middleton if he didn't want to give out a $600-700 million contract, or 500 or whatever it's going to be, to Juan Soto. Like, he paid $300 million for Trey Turner. He paid $330 for Harper. He's got 100 whatever to Cassidy. He's got, like, I'm not going to buy one.
$40 million for Cassidy.
Wheeler. No, I'm saying overall, like, these big contracts he's given out. Like, I don't blame him. If he, I would not blame John Middleton in any way, shape, or form if he doesn't give it out. But I will also say, this sucks. Like, this sucks. Like, it just sucks.
Sure. And it's just, I guess I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't think it's going to happen. I start reconciling with it because it was probably never going to happen.
No one's better at you than just saying, you know what, it's not going to happen. Well, you know, I'm going to fully get behind this other thing.
You
want to
know?
I didn't really want, but I'm in.
You want to know what I said to myself, James?
Please.
You can win the World Series with that Juan Soto.
It's true. A team just did it.
A team. Yeah. Now they did sign Shohei Ohtani. My big overall, I guess, message but concern is, I think we talked about this last year. I feel like baseball's in a very interesting spot where all the big market teams are starting to spend like a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And again, it feels like an arms race again. And the Mets weren't supposed to compete last year. Now they have $100+ million coming off the books. They're going to be players for Juan Soto. The Yankees are always in. The Dodgers, they might get Sasaki.
Might?
No, I actually don't think they are.
Really?
I actually really don't think. I think he's going to be a Padre or a Mariner.
I can see it. He's going, like, they're one of, like, they've got the advantage of the West Coast thing, and they have the Japanese players.
Let's put it this way. The Phillies have a better shot of getting Juan Soto than Sasaki.
I totally agree with that, which is a shame. I mean, look.
Sasaki, I think, is the best pitcher on the planet.
Wow. So I was going to say, clearly the best Japanese pitcher who's ever come over. You think he's that
good? I think
he's
unbelievable. I would not rather sign Sasaki.
But the point is, you thought about it. Like, it entered your head as like a, is there even a possibility?
Well,
dude,
the fact that Yamamoto got 330. Now, Sasaki is subject to international signing pool money, so he can't sign for that kind of deal because he didn't secure 6 years of service time in Japan, I guess. So,
yeah. Well, no international draft. Smart. Why have an international draft?
So I guess if he posts before December 2nd, the Phillies can only offer him $42,000.
Wow.
Because that's all they have in this year's bonus pool. Now, after December 2nd, they can offer him $6 million. Uh-huh. So, come on down. come on down.
So why wouldn't you just wait till after December 2nd? Because I'm guessing most teams have spent some of their international draft money.
I'd be floored if he did not wait till after December 2nd.
There's no reason not to.
Unless
some team is going to have no international draft money, though, essentially, is what it comes down to for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it seems like such a flawed way to do it.
Well, shocking. The Dodgers currently have the most international signing.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
Like sure. 2 million, I think. So he's obviously going to wait until after December 2nd. But it's just, you know, the Padres or Dodgers are probably going to end up with Sasaki. If he goes to the Dodgers, their IL pitching staff would have been arguably the best pitching.
Shohei's pitching next year too.
I know. So
not cool.
It really feels like there is all the big teams are starting to load up and create, you know, almost super teams. It's hard to create a super team in baseball, but I think it's going to push the Phillies to make a big trade this offseason. But that's why I've said all offseason, I feel like it was more of a trade kind of year than it was a big free agent signing kind of year.
So, I mean, they have to do something. I know we've talked about this, but like, it can't just be like, oh, we're bringing in this left fielder who might be better than Austin Hayes. You know, I'm starting to get concerned again.
Good
after John Middleton was like hard decisions, and we're gonna have to have tough conversations and tell him to stop chasing. I was like, great, love it, great. And now I'm sitting back here and all this happening, and I'm like, we're gonna like add a left fielder and a third baseman, and then we're gonna maybe, you know, make a trade.
Here's what I need you to do. I need you to look me in the eyes.
Uh-huh.
I need the audience to look me in the eyes.
Okay, hard to do on the podcast, but try.
Hard to
imagine.
Do. Envision this.
Yes.
If you're driving, keep your eyes on the road.
Yes.
But also envision you're looking me in the eyes.
Yes.
Like, wow, they are.
Yeah.
The eyes really are that blue.
Yeah. You do have blue eyes.
Thank you.
They're quite blue.
Thank you.
Like an ocean.
Have no fear. Jack is here.
I'm deathly afraid.
I promise you, in the perfect offseason that we will get to, perfect offseason 3.0,
I got a trade
that I believe is the most realistic and puts the Phillies at the best chance to win a title next year.
Okay.
That's in the perfect offseason.
Okay. Cool.
Coming up.
I'm pretty excited for that.
They're going to make a trade. Like,
they got to do something.
Easy. I know you're not. Listen,
I'm nervous right now.
Oh, you're always nervous.
I'm always nervous. I got a nice reprieve from the nerves from John last week. Well,
I think you had anger after the season. So you had nerves.
Anger and sadness. Just a big mix of that. And then
the morning shows.
Yeah, you know. And then now just pure nerves. Where it's like, man, like on multiple. Like I'm nervous about obviously like, you know, winning the World Series and having a good team on. But I'm also nervous about just the vibe, not with the guys in the locker room, with us, the fan base.
Ooh, the podcast?
No, the podcast. Our listeners are the best. But I'm saying like Phillies fans in general, like
of course.
We've talked about this. Like, I don't want it to be like the Sixers. Like people sports hate, but people hate the Sixers. Like Sixers fans hate their own team right now. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the Phillies are close to that yet, no. But like if they don't make any moves and they re-rack it and they do it
they're
again,
they're gonna make moves.
I'm just nervous, Jack. I'm nervous.
All right.
I'm very nervous.
I know. And I feel like you're speaking for a lot of people.
I feel like I am. Yeah.
But I feel very confident.
How? How do you feel so confident?
You want to know why?
Yeah, please.
Our good buddy Preston Mack.
Well, that I agree.
And if there's one guy that is in my head, he has written down every perfect all season. And
he's like, hold on guys, I know we're in the middle of a big decision, let me pull out my notes,
Dave. I got an idea.
His notes are just, you know, sketches of the perfect off seasons. Yeah. Jack's perfect off season, and then he just crosses out the name Jack and writes in Preston.
Well,
that's what you're imagining is happening in your head.
I need him to be aware that there is a reliever out there who struck over 50% of his batters in September. There was a former All-Star.
So Mike Soroka saving the season. Is that what we've gotten to? Mike Soroka saved the season. That's all right. Honestly, like forget Juan Soto. Just go get Mike Soroka and we're winning the World Series. That's your message to fans.
For a lot of people, I know they'd be excited about a Soto signing. For me, the idea of them signing Mike Soroka at this point.
I know, pal. I know.
It far exceeds the Juan Soto signing. But I feel like at this point they're gonna listen to it and be like, we cannot sign Mike Soroka. Like we can't give him the sad.
Honestly, it'd be too annoying, guys. We can't do it.
Yeah. Well, no. So I just listen, it's so early. The only move has been what, Kyle Hendricks to the Angels,
yes.
Of course. Is there a more Angels move in the history of baseball?
Classic.
I guess like Jorge Soler got traded to the Angels for Griffin Canning. By the way, Griffin Canning's going to pitch to what, a 3-5 with the Braves?
Stud in Atlanta. If he stays healthy, he'll be a stud there.
It is pretty unbelievable that their rotation of Anderson, Soroka, and Kyle Wright just give completely, like none of them have made it.
Meanwhile,
like Strider was a fifth rounder.
I know.
That has turned into a...
It's crazy. Yeah, Anderson was what, the second pick in the draft? Third pick in the draft? Yeah.
He was. Kyle Wright was fourth?
Wow.
Fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
When were the Braves bad?
Great question.
The old memory.
I know.
They've been good my entire life.
Yeah, it's a great point, actually. Really great. I know they must have had a couple of days. I'm guessing. Because
there's no lottery. Like, it was straight just second worst record in baseball. Series,
probably like a little like right before then, that general.
Because the Braves were in first that year. Huh. No, Ian Anderson was like 16.
So then I'm guessing in 15, they were pretty bad.
Yeah. Right when the Phillies.
Yeah, we just were like, check down the division. We're like, I'm not paying attention to this. Well, the Mets went to the World Series that 15, year. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then the Nationals started their run.
Yeah, so that's one. There we go. We solved it. I don't remember it.
Though. No,
I don't remember, like, oh, look at the Braves. They have 70 wins. Like, I don't remember that.
Dude, they had to have a bottom three record in baseball.
So, I mean, it's 65 wins, 50. I don't know.
Feels impossible. But I just, it's so early. Until they don't. I think they're going to make real moves this offseason. I just do. I think it's going to be harder to trade some of the now Boehm keeps getting mentioned. Passan mentioned him in that article today. Yep. So, you know, that seems like that's something there. But they've also tried to trade Castellanos the last.
And nothing happened.
And nothing happened. Now Boehm doesn't have the price tag and all that good stuff. So I just think that they're going to do something. And I don't need panic in the streets just yet. If we get out of the winter meetings and there's no real rumors and there's not any movement, or
I can panic in a little under a month, then I can panic.
Yeah. Okay. But then it's the holidays.
Okay.
And everyone's in a joyous mood. Then after the holidays, then meltdowns. Okay. I'm not mad right now.
I know. You're.
I'm good. But if they don't, I will be.
You're not annoyingly positive, but whatever the step down from annoyingly positive
is. More annoying. Quick question for you, and you know, if the listeners want to chime in,
Please yell at your phone. Yeah.
More annoying Jack.
Ooh.
This Jack right now.
Oh, man.
Or after the Phils lost to the Mets in game three.
Oh, that's a good question. I think that, I mean, like, it's, no one wants to see a sad buddy, you know, and angry. No one wants to see us so angry. So, yeah, I think this Jack is less annoying.
Get most of my anger out watching the football game.
That's good. Yeah. Annoying Jack. Yeah, you know, Eagles Jack's pretty annoying, I guess. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Eagles Jack's hot for a little bit there.
I know. Eagles Jack is a...
I had to go back in his shell.
He's a roller coaster. He might be shaving his head, I heard.
Yeah. I don't... I don't really want to.
I almost cursed there. I almost said no bleep.
Yeah.
We know.
Like, you could just shave your head and be fine. You know, I got a thick mane.
You do have a thick mane. What do you mean? I have a thick... I cut it short, but...
Yeah, but you could shave... You're close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had the same hair since I've... basically came out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the womb.
I don't want to shave my head at all.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But you did say you would.
Yeah. See, I don't even know if I said I would. I think they made up that I said I would, because I always say it puts stupid.
You always do. I'll quit the show.
I'll shave my head. I'll do this. I'll name my next kid Juan if they sign.
By the way,
Juan
hilarious.
Soto.
That was.
Thank you. Really, I feel pretty confident we're gonna have a different name.
Yeah. Would you really do?
So, yeah, but I would go by, but it would go by, I would name him like JJ.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
but your real name's Juan.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe would be okay with that?
So when I said it on the air, she had no idea. And then when all the stuff started breaking about, by the way, they raised like $500 million from the investors, which is interesting.
Yep. So my guy, the anonymous investor, just doesn't even care. He's just like, take my money. I don't need any credit. A true hero.
True hero.
Whoever you are, anonymous investor.
The third one. Well, we don't know how much.
You're my hero. You're my hero.
But
it doesn't matter. It could be a dollar. I'd be like, hey, owner, right here. Okay, you see all that happened? Me.
Yep.
Credit me.
But when it was starting to look more kind of real, I was like, hey, I might have done this. And she was like, but you're not serious. I'm like, well, I did say it on the radio. But I was like, JJ is a fine name. So we'll see.
JJ Fritz.
JJ Fritz.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, JT Fritz.
Okay. Now you're getting there.
AJ Fritz?
Nah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I feel pretty confident that will not happen.
Why,
but a good bit.
Big initials thing, huh? Even though you want to name the kid initials?
Well,
leaning initials?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, we have our name picked out.
Oh, it's picked. Oh.
I think like 90% picked. But I'm trending in the right direction.
Okay.
Trending in the right
direction. Carson.
No. Don't make me start crying. That one we had in our mind. He was just so good in 17. You know, he was so good.
He really was great.
a lot of poor kids named Carson around here.
I know. What a moment, right? Yeah. At least if you're like Chase or whatever, it's like that lasted. It's like, oh, Chase.
Cole.
Like these ones last. It's like, I'm named after Cole Hamels. Ah. Oh. Freaking love Cole. Carson. I'm named after Carson. It's like, oh, okay.
Cool, man. Not the same. A lot of husbands were pushing for Carson names in 17.
I think there's probably a lot of dogs named Carson.
Yeah.
Tucker named his dog Carson.
Did you?
No. Just kidding. My dog's name is ZD.
Yeah, I was joking, obviously.
ZD?
Yeah, like ZD's the noodle.
A good dog name. My dog's
you
named
your dog
after
a sandwich.
I did. Yeah. Reuben. Yeah. Spelled like the sandwich.
Not Reuben Frank.
No, but it's spelled the same way. Chad's Reuben Frank for spelling his name like the sandwich. Most Rubens don't.
Reuben Amaro does not.
Does not. Most Rubens are more like Reuben Amaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
This is really good stuff. Yeah.
We're breaking this down.
So I'll take it for. We've actually been calling Rube Gary a lot the last year or so. I don't know. Emily just likes to call him Gary. So, and now Zoe calls him Gary.
The only Gary.
She's like, Gary! Just, okay.
Is it like the SpongeBob Gary?
No, like no Gary in general. Just because Gary's
by the
a
way,
silly name.
Has SpongeBob worked his way into being able to be discussed on sports radio?
I don't think so. I like SpongeBob. I'm not ripping it, but I don't.
Ten
think
years
so.
Away.
Yeah, I don't.
From
think
able
so.
To say like I remember watching SpongeBob as a kid.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Shows that
a
you guys longer. Watch. I hate everyone at the station that's over 40.
Well, rein it in with the stupid shows that I watched. All right. I don't know what shows you're besmirching, but I will not accept
it. No, it's just like everything's like, oh my God, like remember Cheers. I know.
Well, Cheers is a little past my time. Yeah.
But it's just.
You're just ribbing the camera now, which is fine. I fully.
But can we just get. I want to get to Jack Bauer. I want to get to. Mm-hmm. I want to get to SpongeBob. I want to get to these shows. Well, I grew up.
I know.
I'm sick and tired of having to pretend that your shows growing up were so good. All right. I'm sick and
Seinfeld
tired
was
of
my show growing up. Is that a
Seinfeld,
good show?
Seinfeld's time.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
This Take is that. my biggest problem with the station is the pop culture references.
I know. It's been a long time crusade of yours. I still don't make fun of you enough for the fact that you do a side topic every day. Basically,
we don't.
Most days.
Only during not during football season.
Stumble around there.
Every once in a while we break it out. Every once in a while.
Yep. You're sensitive about it. It's okay. You're a side topic show now.
No, we're not. Hate them. You don't have any fun doing that.
Forever you have hated them and always told me how much you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're doing it. It's tough.
So Preston Mattingly is the GM.
Off season.
Yep.
Shout out to our guy. Honestly, it's the best news of the off season by far. Well deserved. I think it's a smart move because I do think that he's the kind of guy who could have gotten plucked away. And you never know what could happen down the road. But I think that he has been a rising star in the industry for a while now. When they brought him over from San Diego with LA, the whole thing, like he has a really good resume. And I just think it was and we've obviously talked to him, he's our guy, but I just think it was a smart move by the organization to bump him up.
So if I had to read on it, I would say that they thought they were going to lose him. They didn't.
It was my first thought was like, someone's going to steal him. You have to move him up. That was
and
my first thought.
I think that like Fold leaving baseball to go to more to the business side, that kind of screamed to me. They probably informed him, you're not going to take over for Dave when Dave's done.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave has until 2027
mm-hmm.
until his contract runs out. And I think that what happened on Friday was the
setting
succession
up the next
plan.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a great way to put it.
So they've tabbed Preston as the future.
Let's go.
GM and president of this team. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
This is so exciting.
Well, yeah. Well, as long as he's good.
Well, he better be good.
What if we have to
Preston,
rip
no
him
pressure.
In a couple years?
Hey, that's what we do here.
Yeah.
You know,
fair and balanced.
I know. That's what we do. I mean, I can't help it. I got to be real.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm incredibly bullish on his potential as a general manager. And also, like, who better to spend the next few years learning right at his hip than Dave Dombrowski? I mean, one of the greats to ever do it. Like, and again, also a guy who, you know, like the baseball is in his blood thing. I mean, Preston Mattingly grew up in baseball stadiums, grew up around baseball teams, has spent his whole life in the game as a part of the game. Like, I mean, that's a real advantage. I think he's really well set up. He's young, hungry, all that. Like, I'm really excited about this.
I thought you were going to say he's another couple of years to listen to the pod and get more ideas.
Well, sure.
Of course.
I was going to let you say that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think he's a stud. And I think he's got a good mix of you know, he's leading the minor leagues right now. So he's going to have to, he learned how to lead that. And then I think he has the baseball IQ. And everyone he talks to or you hear talk about him from his time in San Diego, they identified him there as an early riser, someone who's going to rise. And, you know, I think the game's getting back to being played. And you don't have to be an analytics nerd to be the general mm-hmm. manager
of
teams anymore.
Yeah.
And I think finding someone that is a good blend of that is going to be really, really important. So obviously excited for Preston. I mean, we'll see if we can get him on the pod anymore.
It might be too big time now.
It's just unbelievable.
I mean, we are not the type of podcast that historically has general managers on it or anything like that. Like, we're the type of podcast that has the director of player development, or you know, those are the kind of guests that we get here. You know, so if
who
he
am
might
I gonna,
be too big time?
Who am I going to talk to?
We get the minor league players, not the major league players. That's how we do it.
Who am I going to talk about Otto Kemp with? I don't know. Do you even know who Otto Kemp is?
No. I know who Matt Kemp is. No.
Otto Kemp.
No, Tony Kemp is. I don't go ahead. Those are my two Kemps.
That's Otto Kemp currently has like a 1200 OPS in the fall league and came out of nowhere last year.
Is he a draft guy?
No, they signed him as a minor league free agent, I believe. So
are you implying that you've had conversations about Otto Kemp with Preston already?
No, I'm just saying that there's just so much.
Is that with the implication there?
There's just so much important things to break down in the minor leagues that, like, who am I going to bring on this podcast to talk about?
Well, Brian's still there. I mean,
that's draft stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
sure. You need a guy in the organization, you know, above the draft.
We're, this podcast is kind of like the minor league system.
I'm sure you're damn right about
work
that.
Work our way right up to the big leagues.
Right. Yeah.
So
hopefully he's not too big time for us.
Yeah. Well, it's just,
I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he were.
He should be. He should be.
Yeah. I mean, better than this rinky dink thing.
Yeah, exactly. But yet again, I feel like a lot of our guys are graduating.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, not to, you know, pat ourselves on the back or anything, but, you know, eye for talent. I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't matter if it's on the field or not. Yeah. We just.
Tucker's still here, though. Never leaving.
Damn. That was cold.
Never leaving.
I think Tucker's done a great job.
Yeah. He's had a great offseason.
That's all I got.
No, but I, hopefully Preston will, we'll see if he comes in the pod.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But no, it's overall just I think a really neat thing. And to your point, it's the kind of thing where I think when these types of moves in general, when they've happened with the organization, you know, it's kind of stuff that we pay attention to. Oh, Brian Barber got hired. You were talking about Brian Barber before he got hired. I guarantee you were the only person doing that. But I think because Dave Dombrowski is so clearly in charge of the team and really, you know, is so out there as the face of the front office, I think that people with Sam Fold too, I think people are like, oh, sure, he's like Dombrowski's number two or whatever it is. But I think when you think about it in the context of what you said, the fact that this is likely the guy who they are setting up to take over for Dave when he leaves, like it's a much bigger deal than just like it's like an assistant GM. It's not like this is likely the guy who is going to be the steward of the franchise in a couple years.
2028 Bills. Always the 2028.
I like that. We've jumped ahead.
Well, 2026 is coming fast, man.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
It's almost 2025.
I can't believe it's almost the 2026, Phils. Felt so far away when you did the bit.
Dude, we're almost halfway through the Bryce contract.
I know. Wow.
This is going to be what? Crap. This is going to be right. year seven?
So this will be halfway through this year. We'll be halfway. I didn't think about that.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a whoa.
We're also halfway through the Taiwan contract.
No, good. Which half of the contract's been better?
Yeah.
215.
Yeah. So yeah, we're almost halfway through that contract. Like Trouty only has
stop.
7 years left at $37 million a year.
Bone
Turner and Bone for Trout and Rendon. Turner and Bone for Trout and Rendon.
All right. We had take back time.
Well,
a 3.0 time.
Should I do 3.0 or should I do take back?
Why do take back then? Let's save the best for last.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and also make Preston stay till the end.
Exactly right. Because again, the perfect offseason I have, I believe, is the most realistic and one that will put them in the World Series next year.
Okay, good. Thank I'm happy you. That you saved the most realistic and best one for your third perfect offseason. Yep. That makes sense. Good.
So Justin Crawford is playing the Premier 12 games right now, which is very exciting. Made a big catch yesterday.
What are those?
They are. It's a.
Let me be the listener right now and say, what are the Premier 12 games?
I don't really know, frankly. Like they're world games.
They're Premier.
They're world games without current big leaguers, but there's some ex big leaguers. Noah Song's a pitcher on them, which is remember Noah Song?
Of course. What a smart move that was. Is he a Red Sox again? We had to give him back.
I forget.
Yeah.
Shrewd under the radar move.
Radar move that didn't.
But he made a great play in center field yesterday. Love to see that. I'm getting increasingly excited about Justin Crawford as but I'm going to trade my perfect offseason.
Why did you lead with
that? Yeah, I don't know.
You are about him.
I don't know. I am like his swing looks legitimately different, which is exciting.
What a strange decision.
Because I have to hold on to Aiden in my trade.
I get it.
And I'm not trading Painter.
You could have just gone to the offseason and made your trade instead of being like, hey, I'm so excited about Justin
Crawford. I am excited about Justin
Crawford. By the way, guys, he's out.
I don't want to trade Justin Crawford, but unfortunately, in this situation,
it's a strange decision. That's all.
He looks good. He looks good. And listen, I still am pushing for envy on the opening day roster, good. But we'll see. The swing looks legitimately different. It looked like he is lifting the baseball more, which he has to do. Are people who don't want him to lift the baseball more. I don't get why. He grounds out a lot. Mm-hmm. And at the big league level, it's different than the minor league level. He has to lift the baseball. Mm-hmm. And then just final thing real quick. I mean, the Sasaki thing, probably not going to happen.
Yes. Best player, best pitcher in the world, though.
Yeah. Well.
Better than Zach Wheeler. Jack Fritz says Sasaki is better than Zach Wheeler. That's what he said.
One podcast.
That's what he said. I'm just saying. Yeah. The guy I do the podcast with said that. How's that for a deep cut?
That guy also said that
that was 6 years ago, it turns out. Who knew
that Nick Pivetta was a splitter away from being the next Strasburg?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, it was so funny. I think it was Passan. Someone wrote on ESPN today. I actually think it was before Passan came out, but they're talking about Pivetta and how he's going to turn down the qualifying offer from the Red Sox. And he said that some teams around the league view Nick Pivetta as having frontline starter
stuff.
Oh
my God.
I'm like, how many years? We're going on like 6 years of this guy's got frontline stuff. He does. I mean, he does. Splitter away. Someone talk to him.
Hey, look, he's made himself some
money. He's going to get.
Yeah, Nick Pivetta's made himself some money. Good for him.
Just, I won.
I won. That is a win for you. You should absolutely take Nick. The guy's a major league pitcher. Like,
he's gonna get,
you were talking about when he was like, no one thought he was going to make the team.
Stud.
Good work by you.
Thank you. But, like, they have to be. The Murakami stuff is going to be the bigger one. He's coming in a couple years.
Hold on one second.
Sasaki's.
Hold on.
And nice.
You can't go from saying this guy's the best pitcher on the planet.
But Murakami's a hitter.
And then the other guy, this is going to be so much bigger. I mean, it's like.
Just saying, while last year was prep for Yamamoto. Like, they were never going to get Yamamoto, but they're laying the groundwork. Sasaki, probably not. I need them in the Murakami. Yes.
Don't you think having a Japanese player prior to Murakami would probably help?
Well, let's get to the perfect offer.
Oh! Look at that. See, that's teamwork. I didn't even know.
It's a pro.
That's what we do here. Let's go.
Pro. All right. The first trade, this is not
I
the trade.
I love the deep breath you take before you dive in. Like, you're going to do an all in one breath. You're like, all right, here we go.
The first move is not the move that's going to put the Phillies in the World Series, but it gets them closer. I'm trading Ranger Suarez.
Ooh.
And Rafael Marchand.
Sad, but I'll see where you're headed with this.
And maybe if they have to add someone else. In the article the other day, it said this team is looking for a controllable starter and a catcher.
Mm-hmm. And Ranger's not that controllable.
Easy. Relax over there. To the Chicago Cubs for Saya Suzuki.
Okay.
I love.
And on set, so he's your new left fielder.
New left fielder.
Okay.
They want to make him a full-time DH. I want to make him the left fielder. How's that for team
still
building?
Baseball right there, damn it.
He's got a rocket for an arm. But I think Suzuki, he's not going to be a 30 home run guy, but a 20 home run. I think he's going to hit for more average here. Not going to strike out a lot. I love him. And I just, I don't think that's a crazy trade to give. You're not giving up a lot.
No, I think it's a very fair trade.
I think they want to eat some of the money. Cubs are so weird.
Cubs are so weird. They're the weirdest run organization.
Saving money and then also Bellinger.
They make no sense.
The trade for Paredes and he, like, they weren't even competing last year.
Let's just thank Cody Bellinger for going back to the Cubs so the Phillies didn't even have an option to potentially sign him. That would have been the worst signing they could possibly have. No one looks more like a Philly than a current Philly than Cody Bellinger.
Well, it's just everyone wants him every offseason.
It's like if you watch the guy play, like he will swing at a ball that's in the next stadium. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I'm getting Suzuki. That's my left fielder next.
Okay.
Or maybe right fielder if you feel like he's a better arm than Castellanos, which he does. So maybe you
Cassie finally gets back to left field after all this.
After all that. Yeah. Making the team
better.
It is
wild to think that he was signed to be their left fielder back then.
Making the team better. Yeah. Making the team better. So my big trade, and I'm keeping Painter and Miller out of this as best as I can, because I don't want to.
This is the Justin Crawford Sia trade.
This is the Justin Crawford Eduardo Tait, who's
It's legit.
Gonna be awesome.
He was a stud last year.
And Starling Gaba.
So this is a package, bro.
Yeah. Yep.
You're giving up three prospects.
I know.
It better be something good coming back.
To the Chicago White Sox for Garrett Crochet. I can't let the Dodgers get everyone. And it's like the Nightingale says the other day, it's the Dodgers and Philly is going to be most aggressive. It feels like Dave Dombrowski's sale trade. It just does. It feels like the sale trade all over again. I would like to keep Miller and Painter out of that deal. So I'm giving up three top five prospects for him. And they're going to have to sign to a contract extension.
Yeah.
But
what do you say to the people who say Garrett Crochet has had one good year? And those people might be me.
You know who else had one good year before they became a Philly? No.
No. I didn't hear the Philly part.
Before. Zach Wheeler.
True. But Zach Wheeler was a higher level prospect than I think so, wasn't he?
I mean, not like Wheeler was, yes. Probably
Wheeler was a higher level prospect. I mean, Wheeler was like, you heard about Wheeler years before he came up. Sure. Like, he was like a dude.
I know. Well, so was Crochet. I mean, Crochet's a 14th pick in the draft.
Okay.
And like all the underlying numbers suggest he's going to be, he could be arguably.
So you're in on him. You're fully in on Crochet.
Yeah, I think Crochet.
I mean, look, when I've seen pitch, he looks nasty, dude, but it's like, you know.
Wheeler and Crochet is the best onesie bunch in baseball. I mean, they're, and then you have Nola.
Over Sasaki and Ohtani, really?
Well, and Yamamoto or and Glasnow.
Or Cease and Ohtani or whatever you want to. Yeah. I mean, Cease and Sasaki.
And Musgrove.
And Musgrove.
And Darvish.
And Darvish.
Needs it. Crochet, Wheeler. Crochet, Wheeler.
It is annoying that all these teams are just spending money and being good. It's like enough already.
Well, we're right there.
We were.
We're right there. No, we're right there.
Okay.
So, Wheeler, Crochet, Nola, Sanchez, Painter is pretty. And that's your future rotation. You, you extend Crochet. Wheeler has 2 years left. And that's, you know, he's going to be 36, 37 by that point.
And then
so,
you roll, yeah.
And then you go, yeah, Crochet for the rest. I just, he's nasty. He's okay. Nasty.
Good.
He's
good.
Nasty.
I like it.
So, and then, because that's really the only way to build the team if you're not going to be able to go get a big bat.
Right. Now, but here's my pushback is like, you're kind of just moving pieces around. Like, in a sense, like you're adding a left fielder and you're upgrading your starting rotation.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't think that's moving pieces
around. No, but it's not. But you could say Ranger for Crochet. Like, Crochet's better, but it's like a swap. You're swapping a left handed pitcher for a left handed pitcher, and then you're adding a left handed starter for a left handed starter, and you're adding a left fielder. So it's like something, but like we're talking about like wholesale changes with this team.
But
it's not going to happen.
I think Crochet is better than just envisioning him being a Ranger swap. I mean, you're trying. Better.
I know. It doesn't feel like I don't feel like I've solved my problem of when we get to the playoffs. I feel like the team's going to.
Well, the problem is, what's that move? Like, there's just
Juan Soto.
you want to trade for
Juan Soto? Be a good move
for Arenado. You want to do an Arenado?
I don't know if that helps much either. Yeah. No, I get it.
It's your best chance to upgrade one portion of your team, possibly upgrading the.
Like
the,
in my point, like
the offense.
Yeah, I get it.
You make a super rotation, basically.
Yeah. No, I get it.
For a sport that's trending in that way.
No, I know. Look, it makes sense.
Way too bummed about Garrett Crochet. I'm just letting you know.
No, it's not even the Crochet part. It's just like. I feel like upgrading the starting rotation doesn't do enough for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't lose because of the starting rotation. The starting rotation was the one thing they didn't lose because of. They lost because of the bullpen. They lost because of the outfield. They lost because of the bats. Like, I don't know.
I know. But if the goal is moving the needle closer, of all the realistic moves out there,
yeah, I know.
I feel like Crochet's, outside of Soto, possibly the biggest move they can make. Besides Sasaki.
I get it. And it just doesn't, I get it. And you're right. And it does make them better. It's just like going first. Like
you want a big, sexy bat.
Yes. My mind is not on a starting pitcher.
I'll get you Tyler O'Neill.
I love Tyler O'Neill.
I'll get you. I got you Suzuki.
He did.
I love him.
He's okay. I like him.
You're going to like
him. I like him when he's here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And think about Murakami. He's the future at third base.
I do like that part of it.
He's going to be a third baseman. Aiden's going to be a second. And Trey's still going to be
short. So Aiden at second now.
Well, probably. We'll see.
What about Bryson?
We'll see. Or Aiden's at short. Well, whatever.
We'll figure
just
it out.
Just get him. Yeah. That's all that matters. All right. That's all that matters.
Okay.
And then I'm signing Mike Soroka.
Oh, really?
Travis d'Arnaud.
I feel like that's a shocking part of it.
Travis d'Arnaud. I know. Big reveal. And then I did sign two relievers that I feel like I could just. Next. Perfect off season because we're gonna have to do this again.
Yeah, like I said, if you don't have one for everybody, I might be disappointed at this point.
I'm gonna start doing things that I can just feel in my bones of what I think they're gonna do. Yeah. So you want Ryan Helsley, you want Devin Williams? Let me tell you the closer they're gonna sign.
Okay.
Kenley Jansen.
I mean Dombo.
Did that send a cold shiver down your spine?
I could see that. Yeah, it did.
He actually wasn't that.
He's been good every year. Like, Kenley Jansen just goes saves 35 games every year, like, no problem every single time.
I would talk myself into Kenley Jansen.
I would, too.
For sure. And then they're going to 100% sign Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes, not in the closer role.
No.
He's still a good
player. I like him as a middle reliever. I agree. He's got nasty stuff.
I know.
I just can't have that guy as my closer.
No, like, that's why you're getting.
Cannot be the closer.
That's why you're getting.
Can't be.
Kenley Kimbrel.
Nope. Okay.
You're getting Kenley Kimbrel.
You think outside perfect offseason, what do you think about the projected numbers on Hoffman? Because they're high.
Yeah. and teams are looking at him as a starter, which,
yeah,
again, Jeff, not to, you know, be your agent, but Jordan Hicks left to be a starter last year and did not work out very well for him. I just think that when you're a super reliever, just be a super reliever.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's getting a little bit high.
I'm nervous that Jeff Hoffman's going to be gone.
I would rather pay Jeff Hoffman his numbers that are being floated out there than Estevez and his numbers that are being floated out there.
Yeah, it's not even close for me.
I cannot believe some of those contract projections.
Yeah, Estevez numbers are insane. Like, I don't want to get anything.
36 million.
I don't anything close to that. He is like average, man.
I know. So again, I would pay off.
Oh, that would be so bad. And I could see it. I mean, Dave traded for him. Dave likes him. If they sign Estevez, even if it's like 20 million less than Hoffman, I'll be mad. 15 million less, I'll be mad.
What about Estevez and also tendering Austin Hayes and not non-tendering him? Does that move your needle?
I'm not even responding to that.
You want me to not even respond? Want to go back to Garrett Crochet?
I love
Dude, the disrespect you have towards Crochet.
It's not disrespect. It's
Tucker. Was it disrespect towards Crochet?
A little bit. Maybe a little. All right. It's a starting pitching thing.
Again, I don't really know.
I need a bat. I need someone who's going to come in here and give big hits for me when it freaking matters. Like, please.
I don't know what this term means, but I think I'm using it in the right.
Oh, I like this. Rounding out the stalking horse thing. This is a nice little flip around.
I think I'm using this in the right context. But Garrett Crochet is a force multiplier.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not directly correct,
but I think it works. Yeah.
He's a force multiplier.
For wins?
For something.
For having a good baseball, the team multiplies.
I
think wins. It makes sense for wins.
If Ruben Amaro was the GM of this team, Garrett Crochet is a Philly.
Dude, if Ruben Amaro were the GM of this team, Juan Soto would be a Philly.
Well, I don't know about all that. But
Ruben would say, we're going.
We're getting Juan Soto.
We are not messing around.
Because that's essentially building the 11 pitching staff.
Yeah. No, you're right.
The problem is that the Padres have a dumb staff. The Dodgers have a dumb staff. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of really, really good pitching staff around baseball right now. There just is. And we got to go get Garrett Crochet. Because if not, he could be a Red Sox, he could be a Met, he could be a Dodger. They have to make a big move this offseason. I think the most likely one is Garrett Crochet.
Okay, good. Not a starting pitcher when we can't hit. That's great.
They can hit.
Yeah, not when it matters.
Not at the right time.
Not when it matters. Yeah, no, that's the solution. Just be better when it counts. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, you nailed that one.
Hey, sometimes it's just baseball.
Don't tell John Middleton that. All right, you got anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you to Tucker, who did an amazing job on this podcast.
Adequate.
I think he does wonderful work, and I would never besmirch him. How about that?
I didn't besmirch him.
I'm going to send that to Rod.
You should. All right. We'll be back. Ooh, maybe we'll definitely have a pod next week. Maybe trying to get some guest action happening.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All
right. Until then, he's Fritz himself.